Glad to see everybody here that's here tonight. And if you're not here, you're going to miss out. So that just recognize that. All right, we're going to continue a lesson from the Old Testament and yet make a New Testament application. And it's very simple. How did Noah build the ark? And of course, he built it the same way that we should build our faith. We're going to notice several points about this, and we're going to go and talk about Hebrews 11, verse 7. This is where we get our lesson from. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen, as moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Alright, so how did Noah build the ark? From a carpenter's perspective, one might consider the materials and skill necessary to put them together. And so he did that. From a spiritual perspective, much more was involved. So we're going to look at that and see. So considering this verse, let's observe how Noah built the ark. He starts off with listening ears. That's something we need. And Noah was warned of God, and the necessary implication is that he listened to that warning. You know, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We see that all the time in the scripture. And so people being warned of impending disaster get prepared. Yet when it comes to spiritual disaster, they ignore the warnings. Now down in Texas, we had a little thing called a hurricane come through every now and then. And when it was approaching, luckily we had the warning. And so, yes, we made preparations. Some people would leave town after boarding up their house. Others would try and ride out the storm. There were some people lived in certain areas. There's no way they were going to stay there because their house was going to be gone when the hurricane went through. So, yes, they make preparation for that. The minute they start talking about maybe an impending disaster, guess what? The grocery stores, all their water is gone in just a matter of moments and hours. And I'm sure around here, they have all the preparation made when the next big one hits. The big earthquake is going ahead. Every city and every county agency, they have a plan in place that they have rehearsed over and over. So when it does happen, they're ready to go into motion. People get ready for disasters. But sadly, they don't get ready for the ultimate coming of Christ. See, true hearing, however, doesn't make reference to how well we hear audibly, but how well we understand spiritually. So after teaching the parable of the sower, Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, which we find in Luke 8 and verse 8. And he later warned, take heed therefore how ye hear, verse 18. The seven churches of Asia in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, to each one of them was said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And hearing God also, we understand, requires a good and honest heart. A lot of people ignore God, but we should listen to him with an honest and good heart. See, a heart that is not hardened by sin, endeared to this world, not tainted by improper motives, that we might find there in 1 John 2 and verse 15. So Noah was able to build the ark because he listened the same way Samuel did. And in 1 Samuel 3, 9, when the Lord spoke to him, he said, speak, Jehovah, or speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. See, if you remember that story, he was a young man under the tutelage of Eli the priest. And he was sleeping one night, and all of a sudden he heard his name, Samuel. Samuel. So he jumped up and ran to Eli. Master, what did you want?
I didn't call you.
And that was his reaction. And then it happened again. So he ran back. What do you want? I heard my name. You know what? Maybe God is trying to talk to him. So when you go back to your room, when he speaks again, you say, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. And that's what Samuel did. And then, of course, God told Samuel what to do. Alright, here's something else he did. He built the ark with active feet. See, while we may be prone to quickly read past the scriptural point that says Noah was moved, let us remember that God called him to perform a task which he could not have accomplished if he had spent all of his time looking at the blueprint. See, this is a problem we face in the church today. We keep looking at the blueprint. We look at the blueprint. We understand it. We know what goes where, when it goes. But we don't ever get busy and follow the plans. We just sit there. And we shouldn't be doing that. So the message is, get out there. Here's the plan. Take it to the people. Show them the plan. And yet we just sit there and study the plans over and over until we know every inch of it. We know every part that goes in there, how it's supposed to be done. And we get all this great information without ever touching it. You know, it's like looking at the blueprints of a house. If the carpenter just kept staring at the blueprints and never picked up a hammer or never picked up a board or anything, how fast would that house grow? Turn that around. How fast is the church growing? It's not growing that fast. And that's the reason why. We're watching the blueprints and studying the blueprints, but we're not doing anything about it. So Noah, when he heard this, he moved. He was prone to move. He moved with active feet. See, God calls us to action as well. To his faithful, he says, go and make disciples of all the nations. And that's what they did in the first century. We can go back here, and our best intentions in hearing the Lord will be of no avail if we don't put it into action. You know, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And many will say unto me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name do many good works? And he will say, depart from me, you that practice lawlessness. And then Luke 8, 21. There's a passage we can run to real quick. I just had one of those memory lapse senior moments. Let's put it that way. But anyway, Luke 8 and verse 21. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. So anybody who's going to be related to Jesus, they're the ones who actually do it. And we're told in James 2, 21 through 24, you know, faith without works is dead. It doesn't accomplish anything. Our faith must be an active faith. Another thing Noah did was he used a reverent spirit. He was moved with this reverence. Noah's attitude behind his action was godly fear or reverence, something woefully lacking with many in this day and time. They don't respect God. They don't revere God. And those who sometimes go to church, they really don't care about being reverent. They just want to make sure their name is checked off to say, okay, they showed up for services. And that's all they really care about. But no, we should be here with reverent fear, with reverence before God. It is indispensable in pleasing God. We know that. And so Hebrews 12 talks about this fact. Let's jump over there real quick. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Alright, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And then 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How many people actually take that verse seriously? Not as many as there should be. All right, so many hear only what they want to hear. We know that's the way it is. And they do only what their carnal appetites dictate, what they think they can get away with. Why? Because they don't love the truth. John 3:19-20 says, men love the darkness rather than the truth. In the darkness, their evil deeds are covered up, at least in the eyes of man. But we cannot escape the eyes of God. And most people forget that fact. So Noah's godly fear elicited awe at God's greatness to bring to pass whereof he was warned. Things not yet seen, or things seen not yet, as yet. In other words, it was going to rain. It didn't rain before the ark. It did not. Remember, go back to Genesis. A mist came up the ground and gave the plants their water. And it was kind of like this greenhouse effect with so many people afraid of. Really not such a bad idea. Constant 85 around the whole globe. And everybody would be comfortable. They wouldn't be fighting these 120 degree temperatures out in the desert or the freezing temperatures. I mean, 85 degrees all year long. Well, we might think, okay, maybe we could lower it a little. But no, that's the ideal temperature. And that's the way it was. And we could get used to that. In Psalm 100 verse 3 it says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and what not we ourselves. We sometimes forget that. So, the act of faith with working hands. Notice, while noting Noah's activity above, it was not without the direction of God. Noah prepared an ark. How did he do it? Well, in Genesis 6:14-16, God revealed in minute detail the divine pattern he was to obey, specifying the materials used, the dimensions for its length, width, and height, and instruction regarding a window, door, and how many stories would be in the ark. And we sometimes face the same thing in our day and age. It's called regulations. Or specifications. And if you don't follow the specification, it can be rejected and you won't get your money. I mean, he said, build it out of gopher wood. And that eliminated any need for going to get pine or oak or any other kind of wood. Gopher wood, what are you supposed to use? And then, of course, he was told how to prepare it. You build it, and then you take the tar or pitch and pitch it inside and out. You spread the whole surface there. That was the sealant that would keep the water out. Inside, you make three floors, three decks with rooms. That's where they put all the animals. And they put the lions over there and the deer over here. There's an obvious reason for that, right? We understand that. So they had to separate the animals. And of course, they had to have room for supplies as well. And he was told how long to build it, how wide, how tall, put a whole bunch of windows in it. No, put one window in it. One window and one door. And God is the one who sealed the door, and he probably sealed the window until it was time for them to open it up. But something that really kind of gets under my craw here is the fact that you look at all these children's books, you open up and they have a story of Noah and the ark, and they got like 20 windows down the side of it. I mean, what's the point? Does anybody read their Bible anymore? No. So, yeah, that's a problem that we face. But anyway, the point is, God told Noah how to do it, and Noah did it as he was instructed. That's what we're supposed to do with our faith. God tells us how to live our faith, and that's what we're supposed to do. So a summation of Noah's work is given in chapter 6, verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Wouldn't it be nice if it could be said about us, thus Carrie did according to all that God commanded him, and so did he. That should be our goal, folks. That should be our goal, because we know what the result would be. the consequence would be eternal salvation if we'll just do what God asks us to do. So many in the realm of religion today, they busy themselves diligently at great sacrifice of time, energy, and money and activities involved in things that God does not authorize in His Word, that which does not fit God's pattern in His Word. And there's a lot of those. They're in the denominations and in a lot of churches of Christ. We just have to acknowledge that fact as well. We're trying to be the best we can be as the Church of Christ, but the one down the street or in the next town or in the next county, they may not have that same consideration. We want to be a kind of church where we'll just accept everybody as they are. Well, we're going to accept people as they come in here, but we don't want them to stay like they are. We want them to become a Christian. We want them to follow God's Word because we want them to go to heaven. So we're going to do things according to the pattern of sound words. All such labors are in vain, will be condemned in judgment as iniquity. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, those that built it labored in vain." And we already quoted Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." However, God does command His people to be faithful to do good works, which He has purposed and revealed for our good. It's for our benefit. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Ephesians 2:10, "For we were all created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He purposed beforehand and through Jesus Christ." So, yes, we're supposed to be doing good works. And it took a brave heart. Our faith also needs a brave heart. By Noah's life of faith, it says he condemned the world. He was not afraid to be different from the world around him. See, you can imagine when he started building that thing, of course, people would be coming by. What is this idiot doing? That's going to be their reaction. What is this fool doing? He is wasting his time. He could be out planting a field. He could be out chopping trees down to sell for firewood. But this idiot, you remember that movie Field of Dreams? He took that cornfield and turned it into a baseball field. And everybody said, "What an idiot. You're wasting that. You're losing all that money from that." So they probably felt the same thing about Noah. But Noah was a righteous man and perfect in his generation. See, the Bible doesn't talk about many people who were perfect in their time. We just have a mention of a few. We know that Enoch walked with God. And so Noah was a righteous man. He was perfect in his generation. He was doing the way God wanted him to do, where everybody else was going off doing their own thing. We need to be that same way. We need to be working on perfection to be the best Christian we can be. Noah walked with God. And there are several people who are mentioned in the scriptures as walking with God. In other words, they were in tune with each other. They had the same thoughts and goals. Nor was he ashamed to speak the will of God to an ungodly world. He's described as a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. And if you don't think that Noah wasn't out trying to tell people to realize there's something coming that you've not seen before, and if you want to be saved, you're going to join me and come with me. You have to know he was talking like that to all these people. He just went, "Ha, ha, ha, I know where I'm going to be safe. You're not." He didn't do that. So God's people now, with the same faith as Noah's, must stand strong and courageous against the wickedness in our time instead of compromising with it. Sadly, many too. 2 Corinthians 6:14 talks about, "Come out, be ye separate." We can't do this. Light has no companionship with darkness. And Christ with Belial, or any polar opposites. Get rid of them. Get them out of your life. Philippians 1 and verse 27 says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So that's what we need to do. We need to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And so it's kind of like the point Bob was making earlier. You got to be living it right. You got to live right before anybody's going to take you seriously. So yes, we need to do that. And look over there in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. It says, therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So we should be doing that. Romans 12, 1 and 2 means we give ourselves a spiritual sacrifice, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's another reason Noah built the ark, was concerned for others. Noah saved his house. While some might judge Noah's influence on others as maybe small or minute or ineffective, it is observed that he was able to accomplish by the saving of his family what many Christians fail to do today. Hopefully that you said ouch, because that's what is intended to do. A lot of people cannot even save their own families. Now why? Is it because of lack of effort? Yes, that's exactly it. Noah didn't give up. And because of that, his family followed him. No man is an island. We know that. We need each other. And this is especially true for God's people, who must endeavor to have a positive influence on others by letting our light shine in a world darkened by sin, helping those burdened by the guilt of their sin to obey Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do, going out teaching them Christ. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm here for you. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And then James 5, 19 and 20. We'll get there in a minute. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. See, that's what we as Christians are to do. When one starts to stray, we're to turn them back, to save their soul. That's why we do it. That's the same principle behind the church discipline. We do it to shame them, to get them to see the error of their way. And we treat them as an outsider. We don't participate with them. Hopefully they'll miss that and want to have it back. May we show as much wisdom, especially toward our families. Now, oh, real quickly, Daniel 12:3. I think that makes a good point. And if you're not aware of it, that's over in the Old Testament. All right, let's start with verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. If we lead the unrighteous to the righteous path, we're going to shine. And of course, that's what he tells us there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. We're going to share in his glory. And so that's what we need to do. We need to help others get to heaven. Be concerned about others. So all of these Noah did. So how did Noah build the ark? It was by faith. Absolutely, it was. A faith that comes by hearing God. Romans 10, 17. A faith which moves. In other words, is active. A faith that's shown in a reverent spirit, always considering the fact we are before God and God is watching us. That's the type of faith that we need. A faith which obeys God by doing good works. Not just the idea of doing what He has commanded us to do, to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, but doing good works for others. A faith which inspires courage as well as concern for lost souls. That's the type of faith we need to have. It was the faith that Noah had, and it's a lesson we can learn from the Old Testament character. So consider those things. Do you have such faith? And we're going to offer the invitation here because we asked that question. If you feel that you don't have that kind of faith, then let's get together and talk about it. If you need forgiveness of sins and you sin publicly, then acknowledge that and we'll pray for you. If you've done something privately, then you go home, get in your closet, and talk to God about it. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're certainly welcome to. The water is ready and we're here to assist you. Because we want you to go to heaven. So if there's anything we can do to help you at all, we invite you to come. All together we stand and sing.